إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله قد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the last place, the last public place that he was seen before he passed away صلى الله عليه وسلم was the masjid. The hadith narrate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a sitar, he had like a curtain between his house, between Masjid Nabawi. And so in the few days before he passed away sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opened the curtain during the salah time and he found the mu'minun praying there their salah, and leading them was his khalifa to be Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he looked at them, he looked at them leading the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leading the prayer, and all these believers praying behind him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled, and his face started to shine like a moon. And the companions, because they had known that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sick, they thought this as a sign that he was getting better. And they said that, you know, that it was almost like a fitna for them in their salah because of their excessive happiness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw this and then he closed the curtain, and then 3 days later the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam moved on to Ar-Rafiq al-A'la bi abihi wa ummi salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. In another hadith we see the hadith of the woman that used to clean the masjid. And this became a characteristic, something as simple as finding dirt in the masjid. She would clean it up, collect it, and put it in its proper place, until she was known as the woman that used to clean the masjid. She passed away one night, and the Prophet ﷺ, because they didn't want to disturb him, they went in and they buried her without informing the Prophet ﷺ. And then after that, the Prophet ﷺ, he noticed her absence. And he said, where is this woman? They used to clean the masjid. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, she passed away on this night and we didn't want to disturb you. And something that the Prophet ﷺ didn't like that they had done this. And he went ﷺ to her grave in Baqi'ah and he prayed upon her, Salat al-Janazah, there in Al-Baqi'ah. And it was a characteristic. And you'll see the concern of the Prophet ﷺ, a characteristic that she used to clean the masjid and she became known. And this hadith is the hadith of the woman that used to clean the masjid. But what is the masjid? Many people have misunderstood the role of the masjid and the role it plays in the community. In some communities, and in fact, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep it, you know, to protect us. But in many communities, the masjid is a place where the tribal leader is buried. Many places in Africa, places in other countries, when their big sheikh passes away or their tribal leader, he's buried in the masjid. And sometimes I've even heard that that same sheikh will tell the people, when I die, bury me in this masjid. And you'll see generations of this person in a masjid. Some people have taken the masjid to be the place where people are buried. In other places, the masjid is only a place where the five salawat are prayed therein, and nothing else can be tolerated. So you'll see in many of our countries, in overseas, that the masjid has no recreation place, or it has no downstairs, it has no external activities. It's a place for the salah, and sometimes it won't even have a place of prayer for the women. It'll just be for the men to pray their salah and to go home. And the role doesn't go beyond that. And in some places even, that masjid isn't even open for the five salawat. That it becomes abandoned. Some places the masjid is only open on Jummah. Some places not even that. If you go to Andalus, you go to Spain, and you go to the masjids that have now been converted, into museums, and you go into other countries, and you'll see things that you can see the architecture, that this used to be a masjid, but because the musallin, because those people used to pray in the masjid, they abandoned it, then it fell into the wrong hands, and it became a museum, and it became just an artifact, an antique for people to come by, look at, and say that this is a place that people used to pray in one day, because they haven't understood what this masjid is about. And today, inshaAllah, we wanted to speak just a few words about the masjid and what it means to us in Islam. Literally, the masjid is a place where people do sujood. It's a place where people do from sajda. Masjid is a place where people do sujood. And technically, a masjid is any clean place on earth. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a ni'mah upon the ummah, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا, that the entire earth was made for me as a masjid pure for salah on it. جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. And it's the urf of the people that we took that name masjid and put it specifically on that building that is built and organized for the five salawat in the day. And this was done using this word masjid for the place that where the five salawat is prayed in, to distinguish it from a musalla, a place of where people would go out for their Eid prayer, because the ahkam and the rulings are different between the musalla and the masjid. And you'll see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because telling us that the closest place to the slave is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during his salah is in sajda. And from here you'll see, because of this great position, the whole building was named after this place where people do sajda as a masjid. And you'll see that it wasn't called a marka', a place where people do ruku', or something other than that, but it's the masjid because of the nobility of its position in salah. The first house to ever be built for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was Al-Ka'ba al-Musharrafa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily, the first house of worship appointed to mankind was that in Bekka. Bekka meaning Mecca, full of blessing, mubarakan wa hudan lil alameen, and a guidance for al alameen, for the universe and all of humanity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, and these aren't just virtuous things to do, these are commandments from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to honor and enliven the masjid with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. الآية. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, في بيوت, in houses, مساجد, which Allah has ordered to be raised. أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه. And that his name is glorified. ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال. That they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the mornings and in the evenings in these masajid. Ibn Abbas, Mujahid and Al-Hasan, rahimahumullah, commented that these houses, the houses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, fi buyutin, are the masajid that were dedicated to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they said, rahimahumullah, that verily the masajid light up the earth to the inhabitants of the heaven, so that when the angels look down, they see light coming from these masajid. They said, just like the stars light up the heavens for the inhabitants of the earth, from the beauty of these masajid. And everybody, you'll see that many of us are going to university and studying so that we can build a retirement home on earth. But the Prophet ﷺ taught us about a retirement home in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man bana lillahi masjidan, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil Jannah." That whoever builds a masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds a house for him in Jannah. And the ulama have said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds a house for a person in Jannah, it can't be thought of that that he'll have a house in Jannah and he'll be in hellfire. That if he has a house in Jannah, that he'll be going back to live in that house. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught us that these masajid, out of all the places on earth, that it's the masjid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the most. And it's this land of the masjid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. That the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth are the masajid. And the masjid in our history that many of us have forgotten, but the masjid played many roles in amongst the ummah, amongst those early generations. And inshallah we'll just take like a short tour of some of those actions that the masjid used to take care of. For the children, the masjid was a place for them to grow up in. You'll see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, that he used to pray the salah, and he used to lead the prayer. And Umama, the daughter of Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the salah. And so he would pick her up during the salah, and he would carry her. And then when he would go down, he would put her to the side, and when he would come up from the salah, he would pick her up again. These are the children growing up in the masjid. And you'll see also the example of Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, when he was young and he was just a boy, maybe 6 years old, a boy that maybe in kindergarten or grade one in our time, taking all the children of Medina from the children. And sometimes when the children come, we're very quick to push them away and to tell them to go downstairs or tell them to go away from the masjid. But you'll see the Prophet ﷺ didn't push them away, but he would bring them in, bring them to the front of the masjid, hold them close to him during the salah. The education. The masjid was a place, and many of us know we come from countries where the masjid was one of the key places where people would become educated. And throughout history, these masajid, they graduated scholars and scientists and engineers, all from the masjid. You have, for example, Al-Azhar al-Sharif, al-Masjid in Jamiat al-Azhar, that it was built from the masjid. And you have Masjid al-Umawi in Syria, and you have Masjid al-Zaytuna in Tunis, just to name a few of the masjids that were the guiding lights for the education of the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ said about these masajid, مَا مِنْ قَوْمٍ يَجْتَمِعُونَ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And this is the masjid. إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, no gathering gathers in a house from the houses of Allah. يَتْلُونَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, reciting the book of Allah, and teaching it to one another. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. You see the education coming out in the masajid. Except that serenity, the sakina, comes down upon them. Mercy envelops them. The angels surround them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them to the inhabitants of the heavens. The organization of the ummah also used to take place in the masjid. The masjid is a place where people, hundreds and hundreds of Muslims all around the world, and the thousands and the millions, they all come to the masjid in perfect rows, listening to the khatib, coming for classes, coming for the salawat. And this is the organization that we learn. So when the imam says Allahu Akbar, the entire jama'ah says Allahu Akbar. And I remember standing in at the Kaaba, and there's a hotel across from the Kaaba, the Hilton Hotel, and they have a musalla on the fourth floor that looks down on the whole place. And in fact, that musalla, even though it's like across the street from the masjid, the Kaaba, all the lines reach all the way up into the hotel, through even the hallways of the hotel, and up onto that fourth floor. So being on the fourth floor in a hotel across the street, you're still part of the jama'ah. I remember being there in that salah, watching, you know, they have a balcony there at the front, and the Iqama beginning. And you see everybody, like you'd have pictures of New York, someplace just like ants and things. And it's the scene is like that in Mecca, just millions of people just swarming around, and then the Iqama goes. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you know you've heard the Iqama. How long does the Iqama take? It may take like 30 seconds for him to complete the Iqama. And when he's finished those 30 seconds, what do you see? You see 2 million Muslims in perfect lines around the Kaaba. Who taught all those people? And who can organize 2 million people in 30 seconds just by saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And it's something to humble you and to see the power of Islam and to realize how insignificant we are if we don't follow this deen and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us if we're not going to work for this deen. The masjid was a shelter for the weak and those traveling. You'll see in Masjid Nabawi that there's a place, you've heard of Ashab al-Suffa, or the Suffa, where the Prophet ﷺ had pointed a place for the weak people, the poor people, those who are traveling also, and that whenever he would get sadaqah, he would hand it out to those people. And the masjid became a place to take care of those poor and needy in the Muslim community. And the masjid was a place where the Muslims socialized and would learn their brothers and strengthen and rear their ties of brotherhood. You'll see that the companions, radiallahu anhum, they said that the only person that would miss the salah in the masjid was a munafiq ma'lum al-nifaq. That was a hypocrite, that everybody knew that he was a hypocrite. But anybody else that missed the salah, they would say the only thing that made them miss it was that something was wrong. And so you'll see the companions, just like we said in the beginning of the khutbah, the woman that used to clean the masjid, the next day when he didn't see her, he said, "Where is she?" Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Because they always came to the masjid. And the ties of brotherhood and sisterhood were very strong. And so the companions, radiyallahu anhum, when someone was missing from the salah, they would go and visit him in the house. Because they knew that what had kept him back from the masjid must have been due to sickness. Or there must have been something wrong that had kept him from coming to the masjid. And so the masjid became that socialization place that the people would come closer and the brotherhood would get stronger. The masjid was a think tank, a place where the Prophet ﷺ would gather the believers and do shura. An issue would come up and he would gather them and speak to them and they would start bringing ideas. The Prophet ﷺ, if there was a problem, he would stand up and say, you know, who has the solution to this problem? And they would discuss it. And this was the masjid. And the charity. It was a place where the charity was collected, a place where charity was distributed. You'll see the famous hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, تَصَدَّقُوا وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ, that give even if you were to give only half a date. The Prophet ﷺ said this in the masjid. He said it in the masjid when he saw the situation that the believers were in. And the masjid was a place where the jihad, where the flags of jihad were started and where the jihad would be encouraged amongst the Muslims. You see, all throughout history, whenever the kuffar would attack the Muslim lands, it was in the masjid that the khutaba, the preachers, the people that were giving the sermon, these are the places that they would encourage and enliven the Muslims to go and fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the masjid was a place of serenity. It was a place of serenity. The place where a person, when he has all the mashakil, the problems of the dunya, and all the sadnesses, and he's blue. You see so many times in the media here, they talk about people who have the sadnesses, and where do they go? They go to the bars, and they go to, maybe they might go on a mountain walk, or they'll go somewhere on the weekend. But in Islam, we have the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ, whenever that something would trouble him, he would turn to salah. And you'll see that when the time for adhan would come, he would say to Bilal radiallahu anhu, he said, arihna biha ya Bilal. He would say, give us serenity and give us peace and calm and tranquility by saying the adhan so we can begin our salah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. the masjid, just like you see people talking about human rights and this right and that right. In Islam, everything has a right. And in fact, the masjid has its rights also. And we're going to speak about just a few of those rights that the masjid has. Firstly, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that one of the rights and the huquq of the masjid is that when someone enters the masjid, they should pray two rak'ahs, tahiyyatul masjid, a tahiyyah, like a salutation to the masjid, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respecting the masjid before they sit down. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلَا يَجْلِسْ حَتَّى يُصَلِّيَ رَكَعْتَيْنِ. That if any one of you enters the masjid, he should not sit down until he prays two rak'ahs. And the masjid is not a place where business should happen. It's not a place where someone should go up and say that I'm going to sell this, who can buy this for this price? Or we're selling this and we're selling that. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ بَاعَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقُولُ لَهُ لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ بَيْعَتَكَ. That whoever sells in the masjid, whoever like gets up and starts selling in the masjid, it's the Muslims and upon the Muslims to reply to that person, لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ بَيْعَتَكَ, that may you have no success and no income and no profit in your sale that you're going to do. So like curse the person that does that. Because the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ, is not a place for selling. And it's also not a place, in the same hadith, for a person to say that something is lost. مَنْ أَنْشَدَ ضَالَّةً فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقُولُ لَهُ لَا رَادَّ اللَّهُ ضَالَّتَكَ. That whoever, like for example, someone would lose a camel, and so they would come to the masjid and they would say that I'm missing such and such a camel, it looks like this, it looks like that. That the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever does this, say, may Allah never bring back your camel. May never bring back that thing that was lost. So the masjid isn't for the selling, and it's also not for to show that or to call out things that are lost. Thirdly, the masjid should be kept clean and fresh smelling. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ أَكَلَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ. And he was talking about the garlic tree or garlic. He said, فَلَا يَحْضُرْ مُصَلَّانَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever eats from this tree, whoever eats like garlic, should not come and should not attend our musalla, should not attend the masjid because of the bad smell that would come from the garlic. And that includes other things. Like the scholars have said, if a person is smoking, that kind of foul smell should not be brought into the masjid. And other things, the foul smells, the person should work their hardest to keep the masjid clean and to keep the masjid fresh smelling. In the masjid also, when someone is doing something wrong, we should give nasiha, sincere advice to those people that may be doing something incorrectly. For the Prophet ﷺ, we see that if he saw someone praying incorrectly, he would tell them, like the hadith of the person who didn't know how to do the salah properly, he said, irja fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. And he taught him that. He said, go back and pray for you haven't prayed. And so the masjid is a place of nasiha where people should be taught and where people should learn. And when we come to the masjid, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very much and spend much of that time in the masjid remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with much remembrance and glorify Him in the mornings and in the evenings. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the kind of people that are recognized as the people of the masjid. Those kind of people that establish the salah, that work hard, who are coming regularly to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is talking about Masjid Quba or Masjid Nabawi, according to some scholars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَنْ تَقُومَ فِيهِ فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this masjid and He says, in it are men that love to purify themselves. Wallahu yuhibbul mutahhirin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who make themselves pure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the blessing of being known as the people of the masjid, the people that frequent the masjid, and may we be included, inshaAllah ta'ala, amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم من أحيته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.